Okay, reading from the Jiva Dharma, Chapter 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gyanatimaran Desya Gananjana Shalakaya. Taksun Militam Yena. Says my Sri Gurave Namaha. Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, welcome. Greetings from Sridharmayapur. And Sridharmayapur is Odarya Dham, the potency of magnanimity, and it's inexplicable. I'm just chanting my japa just before this, because it's in the morning. And every syllable is just so clear. And I'm just wondering, how is this possible? I'm not particularly performing any austerities, and I'm not, you know, doing something special or extra. And then the only answer is magnanimity, that there's mercy. You get so much more here than your effort dictates. It's the only thing I can explain. And I'm very happy. I'm giving my class. I'm speaking on the 10th canto I generally do. Took a little time to work up. We had a nice crowd yesterday discussing Dharma Vimohan Lila. And I'm taking care very nicely, and opportunity to meet very deeply so many people that I know. Now, we're in the Jiva Dharma, and I'm kind of plowing through this section. And what the Jiva Dharma is doing is it's dealing with all the tattvas or subjects of Krishna consciousness in a very unique way in terms of a novel in relationship to people coming to Krishna consciousness. And we've explained this many, many times before. According to who they are and how they come, they have a different subject that needs clarification for them to come to Krishna consciousness. Different people, Mayavadi may come, and he already may know he's not the body, so he doesn't need to know that. Or, someone who's from, maybe even a Vaishnava line, but is not very detached, and they have to understand that tattva of not the body. And the Maya body has to understand the tattva of Dharma and the soul, and etc. The next chapter, there'll be someone that comes that's confused about history, whether Vaishnava Dharma or Krishna consciousness is a historical event or it's an eternal reality. And, so many people come from different subjects and different, and as you advance, there's various subjects that become relevant to you as you become very, very purified and advanced. Maybe the subject of Raghunuga Bhakti, Rasa Tattva is something that's relevant. So here, the subject that's being described here is Shakti Tattva. And it's relevant, I guess it's relevant today, but it's specifically there because at the time of this story, which is a generation after Lord Chaitanya, that was the predominant, practically the predominant religion in Bengal. Even after the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was practically the most prominent thing. And basically, people believe that the Supreme is an energy, and in this particular conception, even a material energy. And therefore, part of religion is a type of perfection of material energy in terms of a certain conception of culture and civilization. And we can see that type of view is also prevalent among many people, even in the West. That real, what is really right is a certain type of sophistication, perhaps even within certain parameters of decency or morality, which they may or may not get wrong. They may have a sense of ethics, but, you know, have no qualm about eating animals or whatever it is. And then there are, you know, if it's India, then there are shastras and particular philosophy to base it. And they go through the Vedas, even the demons. Bhaktivedanta Purna Swami was making the point that even the demons, they study shastra in this culture. But to get what they want, their objective is not to surrender to God. It's to use the knowledge that's in the Vedas to get what they want. And in that way, you can also devise many, many philosophies, because it's such a broad, comprehensive view of reality in so many different aspects. And you can miss the essence of it all. The essence of it all is to actually see and connect to Krishna. So it's very, very, so people take different views, and therefore the six Goswamis, their contribution was Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipano Sadharma Samstapako. They went through all the various shastras to establish Sadharma. Really, what is the real duty? There's always a gradation of duties, even in morality. I just got a letter about someone reading the Gita. And, you know, it says you should be honest, and then there's something about diplomacy, and, you know, about truth, and when do you reveal your mind, and when, and, you know, there's more, you know, there's cleanliness, there's truthfulness, there's nonviolence, but the priority, nonviolence takes precedence. So, you know, if to protect others, you don't exactly explain reality, and someone's, I mean, I'm looking for this person to kill him. Well, he's in the closet, he's around the corner. You may say you don't know, because nonviolence is a priority, and you may not reveal certain things that will harm you. And you may not reveal your mind in a particular circumstance with people you don't trust. So the shastras can be used for many, many things, and therefore we need acharyas who can actually present sadharma, the correct view of shastra. Anyway, as our story that we're following is, this zamindar is from the Brahmin family. Zamindar means landowner. He somehow comes to Krishna consciousness, despite the objection of his family, becomes very, very serious and becomes a very fixed-up devotee, and he gets initiated. His name now is Advaita, maybe even Advaita Das Babaji. And his old friend comes, who's very, very much a Shakta, a worshipper of the material energy, and the energy, material energy, Prakriti, is energy, is Purusha and Prakriti. There's the Supreme, and then there's the energy. And the energy in the material world is represented by, it's called Vishnu Maya, Maha Maya. It's represented by Durga. And people had a particular conception that you respect that energy by living a very sophisticated so-called life. It's actually concoction. And in perfection, you merge with that energy. It's definitely a type of impersonalism, and it doesn't believe in the source of energy or God. So people like that, especially the time of Bengal, they look at the Vaishnavas, especially the renunciates, as fools. Many people look at renunciates as fools. And even in our hearts sometimes we may see that, because they're giving up material enjoyment. And to these people, that is religion. You know, it's what to speak of family life. That is religion. That is religion. I know for my mother, her religion is family. Now, Dharma, it's good to take care of your family. It's good to love your family. But it's not the ultimate reality. It may be used to achieve an ultimate reality, but it's not the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is there's a source of energy and family and everything else, which is God, who is worthy of worship, where our eternal relationship actually exists. So this kind of philosophy was so prevalent in Bengal. So great, this he tries to he's in argument with his friend. Mainly wants to get rid of him. But he explained, because he's now bad association. But what he explains is that Shakti is not an independent object, but rather it's the power within an object. And to say that the power is the root of everything is opposed to a basic metaphysical truth that energy cannot exist independent from the object in which it originates. And therefore desire and potency in everything, it doesn't exist ultimately in Shakti, but it only exists in the Supreme. In other words, everything is coming from the Supreme Absolute Reality. And Shakti, Shakti Matur, there's really no difference between the Shakti and the possessor. The Shakti is not a separate object. So the real true substance is God. And Shakti is a quality of that. And it's even subordinate to God's will. So Shakti is not the embodiment of consciousness. Ultimately, everything is resting on the divine. And it's part of that. And he explains to him that actually Bhagavan has only one Shakti. And it just manifests, because really what exists is Shakti and Shaktiman. And God has only one Shakti, and it's manifest in different forms. And when it functions in a spiritual capacity, it's called Chit-Shakti. And when it operates in a material capacity, it's called Maya-Shakti, or sometimes Jada. Jada means dull Shakti. So really, Palatsya Shaktai Vividayas, the Vedas say that God is full of Shakti. And the real point that is made is you remain under the control of the Maya Shakti when you have a desire to enjoy separate from God. But when you have pure knowledge and you become aware of your Swarup, then you can transcend the Maya Shakti and come under the control of the Chit Shakti and obtain spiritual happiness. So the Shakti is basically, it's the Maya Shakti and it's the Chit Shakti, the spiritual potency, that energy. So now what happens is this Digamba, because So we'd wait. They'd ask, well, what, are you in control of some power? And now Advaita says, yes, we are Jiva Shakti. We have abandoned, but we have abandoned Maya Shakti and come under the protection of Chit Shakti. So there's three basic potencies. There's Maya, there's Chit Shakti, the internal potency. Maya Shakti, the external potency. And the Jiva Shakti, the marginal potency. Tatasta. Tata is the line on the ocean. It's the bank of the ocean, which sometimes it's covered by water and sometimes it's dry. So the Jiva Shakti is sometimes under the influence of the internal potency and sometimes under the influence of the external potency. Vikabhai then says, well, then you're also a Shakta. You're also an energy, and you're also worship Shakti. And Advaita says, yes, the Vaishnavas are true Shaktis. You're under the control of Radharani, Sri Radhika, who is the embodiment of the Chit Shakti. It is only under her shelter that we render service to Krishna. So who is more of a Shakta than the Vaishnavas? We do not see any difference between the Vaishnavas and the real Shakti. Those who are only attached to Maya Shakti without taking shelter of Chit Shakti may be called Shaktas, but they are not Vaishnavas, they are only materialists. So the Shaktas, people who are Shaktas, Vaishnavas are all Shaktas. But they take shelter of the internal potency, which empowers them to be who they really are, which is a servant of Krishna. And it facilitates reality. And the Maya Shakti facilitates illusion. So Vaishnavas are Shaktas, but they're not materialists. Shaktas, or those who worship the energy, they don't have to be materialists. They can understand that the energy is in relationship with the energetic source. And it doesn't stand on its own, but it's part of God's ultimate reality of love that we're meant to participate in. So then, Narada, this given by, he quotes in the Narada Pancharatra, where Durga herself explains, Tava Vakshasi Radham Rase Vrindavane Vane. In the forest known as Vrindavan, I am your internal Shakti, Radhika, who adorns your chest in the Rasa dance. From this statement, from Durga Devi, it is clear that there's only one Shakti, not two. The Shakti is Radhika, when she manifests as internal potency, and she's Durga, when she manifests as the external potency. In the condition of freedom from contact from the modes of material nature, Vishnu Maya is the Chit Shakti. The same Vishnu Maya is the Jada Shakti, or Maya Shakti, when it is endowed with the modes of nature. So it's really one Shakti, and that's Radha. That's the energy of God. It manifests in two ways. So Durga is saying, I am Radhika of the Rasa dance in Vrindavan. That's ultimately who I am. So all Shakti is coming from Radha. She's the source of all Shakti. She's the Purna Shakti. She's the complete Shakti. All energy is coming from her. So Digambar, his friend, who's the Shakta of shakta of material energy who feels that this is really shakti. You said that you were jiva shakti. Now, what is that? And wait, the quotes from the Gita. Bhumir apo nalo vayu, then aparayamitas trampyam, that there's an external energy known as prakriti. The Gita says that, and it's bhumir apo nalo vayu kamano buddha evacha hankar iti yam me bina prakriti. It's composed of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. You should know, however, this is Krishna the Gita, that this eightfold prakriti is my inferior energy origin. I have another shakti known as jiva, which is superior to the material potency, which is utilizing the resources of this universe. Aparayas itas tvamyam. But I have another shakti, another energy, and that's the living entity, and it's superior to the material energy because the material energy is dead. Dikyabhar, do you know the glory of the Gita? The Shastra is the essence of instructions of all the Shastra, and it resolves all conflicts between the various philosophical ideologies. It explains that the category of entities known as jiva tattva is fundamentally different from the material world and is one of Ishvara's potencies. Learned authorities refer to this tattva as the tatashta shakti. This shakti is superior to the external potency and inferior to the internal potency. Therefore, the jivas are a unique shakti of Krishna. Dikambar, Kalidas, have you read the Deva Gita? Advaita, yes, I've read it some time ago. Dikambar, what is the nature of its philosophical teachings? Advaita, my brother, Dikambar, people praise molasses only as long as they have not tasted sugar candy. He says, you're into this other Shastra, the Devi Gita, because you don't know the Bhagavad Gita. Just like molasses, when it becomes more refined, it becomes sugar candy. So if you only see the unrefined thing, you think this is supreme. But he's saying, but if you actually get sugar candy, you know there's something that's more refined. So he's saying, yes, the Gita is more refined. Dikambar, my brother, this is simply blind faith on your part. Everyone has tremendous regard for the Devi Bhagavata and the Devi Gita. You Vaishnavas are the only people who cannot even bear to hear the names of these two books. Advaita, have you read the Devi Gita? Dikambar, no, why should I lie? I was going to copy these two books, but I've not been able to do so. So that's typical. People have a philosophy that they haven't studied it deeply because they're materialist and they don't have time. They blindly take to religion without a depth of understanding. Advaita, how can you say whether a book is good or bad when you've not even read it? It is my faith or yours that is blind. Thinking about brother, I have been somewhat afraid of you ever since childhood. You are always very talkative. But now you have become a Vaishnav. You're even more assertive in expressing your views. Whatever I say, you cut to pieces. Advaita, I am certainly a worthless fool, but I can see that there is no Shuddha Dharma apart from Vaishnav Dharma. You are always inimical to the Vaishnavas, and that is why you could not even recognize the path of your own auspiciousness. Dikambar, a little angry, oh, you're so sure of your own position. You claim that I cannot see the path to my own auspiciousness when I have performed so much sadhana and bhajan? Have I been cutting grass all this time to feed my horse? Just look at the Tantra Shagraha that I have written. You think it is a joke to produce a book like this? You arrogantly flaunt your Vaishnavism and ridicule modern science and civilization. What am I to do about this? come, let us come to a civilized assembly and see who will be judged right, you or me. And Waita Das wanted to be free from Digabar's undesirable association as soon as possible. We felt that this meeting was completely non-productive. Well, brother, he said, what use will your material science and civilization be at the time of death? Digambar, Kali Das, you are really a strange fellow. Will anything ever remain after death? As long as you are alive, you should try to acquire fame among civilized men and enjoy the five pleasures, wine, meat, fish, wealth, and woman. And at the time of death, Durga, Mother Miss Tarini, will arrange for you to go wherever you are meant to go. Death is certain. So why are you subjecting yourself to so much tribulation at present? Where will you be when the five elements of this body merge with the five great elements of material nature? This world is Maya, Yoga Maya, and Mayamaya. It is she who can ward you happiness now and liberation after death. Nothing exists except Shakti. You have come from Shakti, and you will return to Shakti in the end. You just serve Shakti and witness the power of Shakti in science. Just serve it. Try to increase your spiritual power through yoga discipline. In the end, you will see that there is nothing other than this imperceptible potency. Where did you get this far-fetched tale about a conscious supreme God? Your belief in such a story is making you suffer now. And I can't fathom what destination you attain in the next life that will be superior to ours. What is the need for personal God? Just serve Shakti, and you will merge into Shakti. You will remain there eternally. And wait, my brother, you've become infatuated with this material Shakti. If there is an all-knowing Bhagavan, then what will happen to you after death? What is happiness? Happiness is peace of mind. I've given up material pleasure and found happiness and inner peace. If there is anything more to be achieved after death, I will attain that as well. You are not satisfied. The more you try to enjoy, the more you thirst for material pleasure expands. So, yam hi sam sparsha ja bhoga dhikra yame ayanta bhanta kanteya. That sense pleasure, doesn't improve consciousness. It doesn't satisfy consciousness. And what is happiness is in consciousness. I remember when I was studying philosophy, there was one teacher who was obviously a debauchee, and he was preaching hedonism. He was preaching that happiness is sense pleasure. And I remember I challenged him. I said, if happiness is sense pleasure, then eating an ice cream cone would cure depression. So intelligent people, they understand that happiness is something that radiates from the self. It's not something that you control or bring to the self. That it's nourishing the soul. So he, Advaita is chastising him. You do not even know what happiness is. You are simply drifting in the current of sensuality and calling out pleasure, pleasure. But one day you will fall into an ocean of sorrow. This is the people are, when you're just, your enjoyment just becomes the pleasure of the senses. You're not satisfied in consciousness, and you're always in a state of fear. It's a state of fear. It is temporary. and you're not in control of that happiness. It's a material sense pleasure. It's always fearful because you're not in control of it. And the more you become attached to it, the more fearful you become, because it's so obvious that it's something that you can't hold on to, because eventually it'll all be gone anyway. It's that, if it doesn't change in this life. And just see how people's fortunes change in a second. We're on the material platform in a second. They can be killed. So many things can happen. But a devotee is fearless because what he has is eternal. Digambar, whatever will be my fate will be it, but why have you abandoned the association of cultured men? Advaita, I have not renounced the association of cultured men. Rather, that is precisely what I have obtained. I am trying to give up the association of degenerate men. Digambar, how do you define degenerate association? Advaita, please hear without becoming angry. I will tell you. Bhagavatam 4:33 says, it's quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas also, Yavate Mayayash Krishna Ramama Iya Karmadi. O Bhagavan, we pray as long as we are bewildered by your illusory potency and wandering in material existence under the influence of karmic activities. We have the association of your pure devotee, birth after birth. Asadvi Shaharshangas Tu Kartavya Kardachana. We should never associate with people who are immersed in non-reality. But by such association, one is deprived of all worthwhile objects of attainment and falls down to a degraded position. The Kadhyayana Samhita states, Vram Utabaha Dvala Anjaranta Vivastiti. It would be better to live in a cage of fire than to suffer the misery of associating with those who are inimical to the thoughts of Sri Krishna. And it says in Bhagavatam, also quoted in Hari Vilas, Satyam Socham Dayamonam Budhiri Sri Yasasana. One associates with those who are devoid of virtue. One's good qualities, such as truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, restraint of speech, intelligence, shyness, wealth, fame, forgiveness, control of the senses, control of the mind and fortune, completely fade away. Therefore, one should never associate with disgraceful people who are agitated by desire to sense enjoyment, who are foolish, who are engrossed in the bodily conception of life, and who are playthings in the hands of the opposite sex. It says in Garuda Purana, also quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Antakato pi vedanam sarva shastrata vedyati. One may have studied all the Vedas and be acquainted with the meaning of all the shastras, but he is not a devotee of Sri Hari. He should be understood as the lowest of men. Srimad Bhagavatam states, 6:118, Vayaschitani Chirnani Narayana Paragukam. This is also Hari Vilas from the same section. O King, just as the water of many rivers cannot purify a wine pot, similarly, a person who is averse to Sri Narayan cannot become purified by all the different types of atonement, even if they are executed perfectly again and again. It is said in the Skanda Purana, also quoted in Hari Vilas, Hanti Nandit, Hanti Nindati Vaidvaishti Vaishnavam Nabinandati. The six causes of downfall are to beat a Vaishnava, to slander him, to bear malice against him, to fail to welcome or please him, to display anger towards him, to not feel pleasure upon seeing him. Digambar, a person can never attain auspiciousness through these types of immoral association, what possible benefit could one gain by living in a society composed of such men? Digambar, well now, what a distinguished gentleman I have come to speak. You certainly stay amongst your pure Vaishnavas. I am going to my own home. Advaitadas felt that his exchange with Digambar was drawing to a close and that it would be appropriate to conclude on a pleasant note. In a courteous mood, he said, "You are my childhood friend. I know you must return home, but I don't want you to go just yet. You have come all this way, so please stay for a while. Take some prasad and then go away. Digambar, Kalidas, you know very well I'm on a strict diet. I only eat Hadishya. I had a meal just before coming here. It was my pleasure to see you. I will come again if I find the time. I cannot stay overnight because I have some duties to perform according to the system given to me by my guru. Brother, I must leave today." "Wait, I shall see you to the boat. Let us go." "Digambar, no. Carry on with your business. I have some men with me." Digambar then went away, singing a song about God and his Kali, and Advaitadas was able to chant Sri Ram Nam in his kutir without further instruction. Thus ends ninth chapter of Jagadharma titled Nityadharma, Material Science and Civilization. So that ends the chapter. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yeah, I do have a question.
Okay, Delta.
Yeah, one is I was really surprised when you were reading from the book to hear, I think it was Digambar acknowledge the existence of not just Mahamaya, but Yogamaya too. Did I hear right?
You did hear right. I wondered that myself. But maybe they just equate the two and don't really make a distinction philosophically. And also, I don't know the translation, so I really can't answer that.
Okay. Okay, the other thing something that's been bothering me for years is, like you mentioned in the class today, that I think material nature or matter is dead. And so since, you know, all that exists is the consciousness of Krishna,
right.
is it more accurate
right.
to say that matter just doesn't manifest the consciousness, but that it does have consciousness?
Well, I mean, in one sense, let's say, does your fingernail have consciousness? You know, it's growing, right? But does it have consciousness? No, there's a person that possesses the consciousness. So, it's not invested with independent consciousness, you know, on its own. And now I'm trying to figure out how that's different from the chit-shakti. But the chit-shakti somehow or other is, you know, it must all manifest personally Krishna. But the external energy somehow doesn't. You know, like they say in the spiritual world, you know, everything is conscious. Everything is individual. Everything
yeah.
is personal.
Yeah.
You know, everything has its own individual identity.
Uh-huh.
But
it
doesn't, the material energy doesn't have that.
Yeah, and that's what's been confusing for me. I don't understand how that is so when Krishna is everything. I mean, I know there's a chintya, you know, Veda.
Well, he has different energies, and they work different ways. Let's say, because we know in the in the story of Prahlad, when he cuts the pillar, then Krishna appears. So Krishna can appear, but he chooses not to appear in material energy. So in that sense, maybe, yeah, it appears dead, but it doesn't have an individual existence. Like a cup can't talk to you, but in the spiritual world, everything does have an individual existence. Everything has an intention. The wind in Vrindavan has love. The wind here is just being blown by something else. It doesn't have its own individual volition. So it's somehow or other, the Chit-Shakti has its own individual volition, its own individual will, its own individual love. And the material energy doesn't. Ultimately, it can, because it's Krishna's energy, but he's not manifest there in that way.
Okay, all right. So then it's like I said.
It's kind of like if you throw a ball, right? The energy came from the hand.
Yeah.
Right? The ball doesn't have energy, but in the spiritual world, the ball would be moving itself.
Yeah.
It would have its own energy, its own intention.
Mhm. Mhm. Okay. Yeah, I guess it's just, you know, a different way in which that particular type of energy operates.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I'm talking about like
okay,
the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For now.
Okay. Thank you so much. I so much appreciate Gail. I know that there's a few people that will always be there. And this section's been a little bit difficult. I don't know, some things don't lend to explanation as easy as others. But we're going to start a new chapter, and I think it's going to be very interesting.
Mm.
It's about the history of Vaishnavism.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a historical phenomena or an eternal phenomena. So I think that's going to be interesting. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Would anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. This is Brother Aravind.
Wonderful. You also so steady and very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Jaimers, Rati Krishna.
Rati, Haribol. Great. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you something to put up for the next chapter, so if other people want to join. This chapter was really hard. I don't know if it was edited right or, but let's see. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end now. Hare Krishna.